Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
A petty thief pickpocket runs from his crime. Lurking in the shadows would ultimately be his end, though, as out from those shadows, Black Noir, Homelander, Queen Maeve, and the rest of the Seven pop right out with cameras rolling. Homelander steps forward to face the terrified thief with a speech fully prepared. What would happen if we let criminals like you go unpunished? What anarchy would that cause? He bloviates as his eyes slowly start glowing red. It is then that a voice rings out. I think a little time in county jail would be enough for this crime, don't you? As Cyborg, Raven, Nightwing, and the rest of the Titans step in. Homelander stammers for a moment, then steps forward and looks right into the camera. The communist villains are here! Seven, you know what to do! He loudly proclaims as his eyes glow red once again. It's DC versus Vought. It's Bloodhaven versus Compound V. It's the Titans versus the Seven. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsy, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stekanis. It's a rare team versus team battle on the Who Would Win podcast today. In one corner, you have the Titans, formerly the Teen Titans, one of the premier superhero teams in DC Comics universe, led by Nightwing, versus the Seven, a notorious superhero team managed by Vought International, embodying a dark and corrupt version of Superpower Protectors, led by the powerful but psychopathic Homelander. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And this matchup actually has been discussed quite a few times online, which isn't surprising considering the popularity of the Boys TV show. But as usual, it's never gotten the Who Would Win treatment until today, that is. Ray, I gotta know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I am intrigued by this matchup, and I've seen all of your silly little comments online on the social medias, on the Instagrams, on the face boxes, on the my rooms. I've seen it all out there, and I don't care what any of you have to say. I know the Seven. I know the TV show, The Boys. We're not going to do season four here, just in case you were worried about it, because I'm worried about spoilers. We all have, I believe very strongly in a 24-hour, 48-hour, two-week limit for spoiling a show. I don't like being the guy that does that, so we're going to stick to seasons one through three this day. But I think the Seven can step to the Titans. I think the Seven can beat the Titans. And I'm about to prove it once and for all and make all of you eat your words.
Interesting thoughts. Look, the popularity of these two groups make this kind of a natural matchup for who would win, because you couldn't have two teams more opposite to each other than this one if you really think about it. But there are just enough similarities to make this quite possibly I think, one of the most intriguing battles we've ever had. And look, to everyone who's saying this, we've all heard that before. I've gotten it. Ray's gotten it. Hey, that's too one-sided. Don't think either one of us can't pull out a win when it's seemingly against insurmountable odds. It's been done before. It'll happen in the future. That's why the show is so awesome. Look, when you have such an intriguing episode, one that can make or break Ray's winning streak, don't think I don't know this, Ray, you need a judge who's well-versed in every aspect of geek culture. You need a judge who's proven themselves before on the Who Would Win show and who is ready to step up to the challenge once more. You need a judge who evidently is about to make a huge announcement for and on the Who Would Win podcast itself. Making their second appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's the owner of Say Word, the number one geek nostalgia hub of Greater Milwaukee. It's Benny Trelongo. Benny, welcome back to Who Would Win.
What is up, you guys? I am stoked to be back. This is an amazing matchup. I'm excited to talk about announcements. It's going to be a good one today, you guys. I'm excited all the way around for everything going on today.
Look, you know, this is really, really unprecedented for us because you're still a relatively new judge to the Who Would Win show, and yet you did such a great job, despite you having an announcement, whatever that may be, you now actually are coming back. I think this is the quickest turnaround, Ray, if I'm not mistaken, for a judge to ever be invited back. But again, that's a testament to what you did in your last episode, even though you didn't give me the win. Now, with all that being said, yeah, and all that being put aside.
See, hear that, future judges? You give Ray a win, you come back again. That's how the rhyme works.
Yes, especially if you have a huge announcement. I'm really interested in what this is all about. Benny, what is it that you want to announce to the Legion of Audience, our fan base?
All right, you guys. Well, after a lot of demand, a lot of questions and inquiries, I'm super excited to announce officially that we are hitting and launching this coming week the Say Word and Who Would Win podcast merch collaboration. And that is going to be consisting of a couple different things and new items on a pretty frequent basis. I know previously we had talked about, you know, giving the fans more, giving the fans a product that they can rep on the go, at home, in the office. And that's exactly what this drop hopefully embodies to you guys, to me, to everybody involved, and specifically to the fans. I'm really excited to roll this stuff out. I kind of don't want to release everything. I want people to make sure they're checking out our social medias to really see the images of what it is. But there's some clothing, there's some t-shirts, there's some hoodies, there's going to be a couple hats, in addition to a really cool figurine stand that my cousin and I designed and manufactured ourselves. That's going to be just a really cool addition to your collection to show off toys, show off items, whether it be for your own personal enjoyment on your stream or to show it on your Instagram. And maybe there'll be some future benefits on the Who Would Win podcast if you have a super awesome post and matchup that you get to share with us.
Benny, this sounds incredible. It's been a long time coming. Look, here's the deal. Ray and I and the rest of the Who Would Win production team, we're fantastic at a lot of things. Coming up with merch and kind of sustaining that kind of and offering new, great, brand new things, maybe not one of our stronger points. Thankfully, we get to team up with Benny Trelongo and Say Word, literal geniuses in this space. They know what to offer. They know what to create. I'm really excited about this figurine stand where you can actually pose action figures, Funkos, whatever you got, against each other, coming up with your own freakishly awesome battles. What's the URL? Where can people go to start to check out this merchandise?
You can slide over to sayword.co and go to the drop-down menu, and there will be a drop-down little selection for you right there that says Who Would Win merch. You're going to click that, and all the current options are going to be right there for you. If it's clothing, pick a size right there, and all the info for each item will be right there for you to shop at your convenience.
I love it. This is huge. This is just the start, but get ready for more greatness because, you know, we're going to want to see pictures. We're going to see vids of people wearing our stuff, wearing our clothing, wearing everything branded Who Would Win, and especially pics and videos of you posing what you want to have as battles for future episodes of the Who Would Win show. All right, again, all of this sounds fantastic, but we got to get to the show. With all that being said, Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing DC Comics, the team whose status is brought down by their NFL namesake, the Titans. Sorry, Titans fans. True, though. And representing Amazon Prime, the most poorly numbered team since Ben Folds 5, the Seven.
Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character themselves. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal, with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all of the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win Show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for The Seven.
The Seven is a superhero team in The Boys comics and TV show. Now, I'll be using the TV version today as the new season just dropped, and as I said before, I will not be talking about season 4 because it's ongoing and I want to avoid immediate spoilers. Now, The Seven was created by Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson in the comics, and it first started airing on Amazon Prime in 2019. The Seven is a corporate team of superheroes who are much more about branding and social appeal than they are fighting crime. This leads to jaded veterans of the team, such as Queen Maeve and the A-Train, needing to play ball with what the team is really about, while newer members like Starlight come to grips with the fact that they are not nearly as heroic as they portray themselves to be. That said, due to Compound V, each of these superheroes is crazy powerful and can level a city block in an instant, and they often do, which is why they need so much PR. Fun fact, Anthony Starr has won awards for playing Homelander of the Seven, but there are a couple interesting tidbits about him in this role. First off, and I just learned this, Starr beat out Arnold's son, Patrick Schwarzenegger, to play Homelander. Patrick would go on to play Golden Boy in the spinoff show Gen Z, however. But Anthony did not see himself as even being right for the role, as he thought that Superman actor Henry Cavill was the perfect choice to play the star-studded Soup. I'm sure he's not complaining, though, as Homelander has taken him to new heights as season 4 gets rolling. And that is sort of The Seven.
Well done, right now. Here are the details for the Titans. The Titans, formerly the Teen Titans, are a prominent superhero team in the DC Comics universe, and they were created by writer Bob Haney and artist Bruno Premiani. They made their first appearance in The Brave and the Bold, number 54, back in July of 1964. Initially, the team consisted of Robin, Kid Flash, and Aqualad, who were the teenage sidekicks of Batman, Flash, and Aquaman, respectively. They later expanded to include Wonder Girl and Speedy, among others. The concept behind the Teen Titans was to bring together the youthful counterparts of established heroes, providing them with their own platform to tackle threats and grow independently from their mentors. The Titans have become a significant beloved part of the DC Comics universe since then, and are now known for their compelling character development, complex storylines that really often address issues of identity, friendship, and responsibility. It's a crazy world that they live in, I'll tell you that much. The team gained immense popularity with the launch of the new Teen Titans series in 1980, created by writer Marv Wolfman and artist George Perez, which will be the version of the Titans I'll be using for today's battle. In short, the Teen Titans, the original members of the Teen Titans, are now adults, and they are now called the Titans because they're no longer teenagers. And here's an interesting fact about the Titans. Did you know that the character of Wonder Girl, Wonder Woman's sidekick, was added to the team completely by mistake? It's true. Look, when the first group of Teen Titans were formed, the idea was to have the squad be full of young sidekicks of adult heroes. I mentioned that before. Since Wonder Woman was one of the biggest heroes of DC Comics at the time, naturally her sidekick was thought to be a perfect addition, and the character of Wonder Girl was created because everyone thought, hey, it's just another Amazonian or what have you. However, the problem was that according to the character's storyline at the time, Wonder Girl was actually the younger version of Wonder Woman who went on adventures time to time with her older self through time travel, which meant they couldn't really be in all these different places at once. It was a kind of a crazy thing. The creator of the first Teen Titans didn't know this, included Wonder Girl into the stories, thinking that she was just a regular sidekick, like a Robin or what have you. Once the mistake was realized, an origin and unique identity for Wonder Girl had to be created. Wonder Girl was named Donna Troy and envisioned as an orphan who Wonder Woman rescued, which then started Donna's very complicated history. The 1960s, am I right? And now you have the facts on both opponents. Benny, do you have any questions before we get started?
Can you just state for me one more time exactly which version of the Titans you're going to be using?
I'm going to actually be going into that in great detail for my point number one.
Beautiful. Then I have no questions. I'm actually super excited for this because Obviously, I know you're not using like the Teen Titans from the, you know, the Cartoon Network, but the Titans have always been one of my favorite comic book teams as a child. And the Seven is one of my favorite live action shows as an adult. So this is a little bit of both worlds. And I'm super excited. This is going to be really good. And how many does Ray have in a row now? Five?
Like 100.
You're both off horrifically. It's three. And they're all three very questionable wins, by the way, Benny.
Nobody's questioning it, James. Literally no one online has questioned any of those decisions.
Oh, yeah. There's always those questions. How much is at stake? Because I'm like, okay, is this like the sixth win or like the... Okay, I just need to know.
It feels like I haven't lost a single match this season, to be honest with you.
That's fair. I will tell you this. The unthinkable happened a little while ago where I won five in a row, and I think today will be the start of six in a row. But let's see what happens. Ray, go ahead. Get this party started. Hit us with your point number one.
I think it'll be part four of six in a row, to be honest with you. But anyway, point number one for the Seven. Now, when breaking down a team that has so many people on it, I find it's best to just sort of ramp up from the lesser powered characters and then kind of work our way forward and talk about the teamwork in the counterpoints. Here we go. So let's talk about some of the lesser strong characters, like the Deep. The Deep is their version of Aquaman. And I would say, compared to the Jason Momoa version of Aquaman that we see in the DCEU, the Deep is about 17 times more powerful. This is a guy who can talk to and get sea creatures to work for him. He can, of course, talk to fish. It's sort of his big deal. He once rode a whale and tried to knock the heroes of that episode off of, I think, their boat, their Sea-Doo. I don't remember. Anyway, he rode a whale, and it was fantastic. But he's also a decent fighter in his own regard. He did catch A-Train, a speedster, off guard and smashed him into a wall while inside their corporate headquarters. That's not nothing. And you got to remember, every single one of these characters in The Boys has Compound V in them, which means they're all super durable, they're all super strong, and they all have extra powers on top of it. There is no, like, weakling character. They take massive beatings from each other all over the place in this universe, and generally speaking, bounce back until they don't, right? Another character we'll talk about is Translucent. He's a member of the Seven. He's essentially Luke Cage, but invisible. If it wasn't for a very special plan to blow up his insidey places, he was immune to fire. He's immune to bullets. He got trapped inside of this, like, powerful cage that he couldn't get himself out of, but that's because they didn't know what to do with him, because when you can't see something and you can't hurt something on the outside, at least, I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult. He's a character, I do think, that matches up very, very well with a character like a Nightwing, who, you know, quite honestly, needs to be able to see him, needs to be able to hit him. He's a good matchup, and I think beats Nightwing in a first encounter kind of situation. But let's keep going. We have Starlight. Starlight's not powerful, but she ranks in this category because that's the level of the team that I'm talking about here. Of course, massively strong, massively durable. She fires off these kind of light-based, electric-based blasts, which allow her to blind her enemies with a very, very powerful light, which I think she's going to be able to do and be able to stun a vast majority of the Titans who don't know what she does. Remember, this is a random encounter. None of this Nightwing preparation nonsense. And I think the Seven is better off, if you don't know what they do, being so many of them with such a varied power set, that I think a character like Starlight being able to rip off a light blast, blind them all, and then rush them, I think is a great plan going forward. But she can also damage people with her electric blasts as well. Finally, A-Train. I did mention him. He was in part two, but I think he's better suited for part one because of how much more powerful the people I'm going to talk about are. These are the weaklings on the team. And we've got A-Train, who turned a person into jelly just by running through them on the street. That's like episode one, moment one of The Boys. If he could just run through Nightwing with super speed, which he would do, he just kills Nightwing outright right there. There are characters who get immediately eradicated in this matchup from the Titans. How do they react to that? The Titans often like to back up when one of their kind, if one of their kind was killed, the rest would probably take off and regroup. They probably don't keep fighting. So when A-Train starts the fight by running through Nightwing and blowing him out, there we go. He had a problem with his heart. It was a weakness, A-Train did. But he got another soup, Blue Hawk, and he killed him. He was a bad person. They're both bad people, but don't worry about that. and he was able to get his own heart implanted into A-Train, so he no longer gets weak when he uses his powers. He's also super strong. He once pulled A-Train. He's A-Train. He pulled a train. It's great. He can hit people before a reaction is even possible. That's the level of speed we're talking about. And his own theme song says he's faster than the speed of light. And who am I to argue with a man's theme song? Not I. All of that is my point number one.
All right, listen, I love the Seven. It's and it's funny because I really loved the comic book version. And this is one of those rare times where I feel the live action version actually is more entertaining than the comic book version, at least in a lot of regards.
Definitely.
It's really, really cool. Really well done. I actually highly recommend to watch it. Okay, but with that being said, got to push back. You said the Deep is 17 times more powerful than Aquaman. Do I really
You're right. It's probably 20.
Okay. I'd say go in the opposite direction. I'd say he's probably at least, I don't know, five times weaker. There may be a similar power set. That's like saying Ray Stakadinus and I go to the gym. And you're like, okay, Ray and I have similar, quote unquote, powers. He can bench press weight. I can bench press weight. The weights will not be the same. I'd love to say Ray would be way stronger than me, maybe 17 times. But that, just like his statement about the Deep, would be horrifically incorrect. Translucent. Actually really cool. It's weird how he's got to be naked when he uses his power, although he is bulletproof, I believe. So, Ray, you're not wrong there, but it's kind of a weird power set. Starlight's awesome. I'll just say it like that. I think she's great. Not really part of the team feeling, but she's there. And A-Train, yeah, interesting character. Has a little issue, has a slight substance abuse issue. We'll get into that later on. But here's the thing. Nightwing, you know, his whole life he's been around speedsters. He knows how speedsters work. He's not going to be taken by surprise by what A-Train can do. He's not that someone just rushes in blindly, so I'm going to push back on that. And the Titans don't leave someone and leave the battlefield when one of them goes down. It's quite the opposite. But you know that if you read any of the Titans. Here we go. Let me just go to my point number one. And I'm going to do the same thing, except I'm going to talk about all of the Titans members I'm going to use for this. And we got to start off with this. So I'm going to go with seven members that they typically have with their team. Just like the Seven obviously has seven members as well. Okay, so my first one, let's talk about Nightwing. Originally Batman's sidekick Robin. He's an insanely skilled acrobat and martial artist. Peak human physical conditioning. Exceptional agility, a ton of training in so many different martial arts, personally trained by Batman and some other top martial artists and fighters from the DC Universe, master detective, proficient with all of his bat gadgets, including sticks, electrified this, crazy stuff there, knockout pellets, mini explosives, all within his utility belt compartments all over his costume. This guy is absolutely insane and the leader of the Titans. Then there's Beast Boy. He can shapeshift into any animal. He retains that green coloration when he does so. He gains all the abilities of that animal he transforms to. He can even transform into mythological creatures like fire-breathing dragons or alien monsters. If he's seen them in live, he can transform into what they do and get their, you know, abilities and what have you. You know, he's super versatile. He's insanely unpredictable when it comes to fighting. All of a sudden, you're fighting a gorilla, then it's a snake, then it's a fire-breathing dragon. It gets crazy. As a bonus, he's got a crazy healing factor, and of course, he's got enhanced senses. Of course, now we got to talk about, I think, everyone's favorite Titan, and that's Cyborg. Half human, half machine, superhuman strength that's crazy, durability, advanced tech capabilities. He can fly. He's got built-in weapons, hacking abilities, genius-level intellect with everything he's doing. He can interface with any type of technology, whether it's regular street sign, you know, light, whatever. He's going to interface with it. Some of his weapons, he's got a sonic cannon. Let's see, a white noise cannon. This thing emits high decibel sound waves, plasma cannons. He's got arm blasters that are super powerful, energy bolts, missile launchers of all types, EMP blasts, because that's a thing. And, you know, when you have such a high-tech character, of course, you got to have grappling hooks. Because, you know, that's a thing. Then there's Starfire. Now, Starfire is insane. She's a princess from planet Tamaran. We've mentioned this before. Superhuman strength. Crazy durability. She can fly. Powerful energy blast. She calls Starbolt. She can fire from her hands. She can also fly at super speed. She's also around what's called class 100, meaning she can lift about 100 tons. For those who are wondering what that just means exactly, let me put it this way. The Thing from the Fantastic Four, super strong. He can lift about 80 to 90 tons if he pushes it. Starfire is stronger than him. She's also an insanely skilled fighter, and she can absorb energy and radiation and light energy and bring that power into herself to augment her own. Really cool. Wally West, initially Kid Flash, became the Flash after Barry Allen's disappearance. Fun fact. Super speed, of course. Let's see. He can phase through objects. He can time travel, sometimes successfully. He can create speed force constructs. He can run so fast and pull large, huge train-like objects behind him just so he can match A-Train. Everything you think the Flash can do, Wally West can do as well. Donna Troy, think of someone who can do literally everything Wonder Woman can do with maybe 10% less overall power, maybe. Fun fact, she's also got the same type of indestructible bracelets and lasso Wonder Woman has. And then there's Raven. She's the daughter of the demon Trigon, an overlord of another dimension. She's got the powers of flight, super empathy, mind control, superpower telekinesis, teleportation, soul self-projection. I'll get into more on what that is. She can manipulate emotions of others, making them feel fear if that's what she wants. She can create energy constructs. She's got super powerful shields that she can use to like trap opponents or protect herself. It is awesome. She can access interdimensional travel. That gives her the ability to remove others from the field of battle and put them in another dimension. And don't even get me started with the fact that she can summon demons and demigods to help her in any fight she's in. And you know what? There's that one little thing about her. I'm trying to remember this. What was it? Oh, yeah. Small little thing. She actually has the power to destroy the universe. She's not going to just do it, but she has that amount of power within her if she wants to unleash it. Fun fact. Look, there's a reason why at the moment, anyway, the premier team in the DC universe is the Titans and not the Justice League. And Homelander and the Seven, they're about to find out. All of that is my point number one.
James, you're saying a lot of things right now that I can't think that you actually believe. Now, I'm a big fan of the Teen Titans, a big fan of the cartoon show. But at the end of the day, the Titans themselves, big thing I know about them, they don't really like to kill, do they? They don't go out of their way to murder people. They are true heroes. They save people. But the Seven are in for it for themselves. And they would consider their own survival to be the most important thing. That's why they use such extreme force immediately in all of these situations. It's what makes them fun, quote unquote. And I appreciate that the Titans are gonna be like, oh man, we have this heroic thing that did. Meanwhile, you know, Homelander and the crew, they know that the story's gonna spin in the press however the heck they need it to spin, and they will go for the jugular right away. So while Nightwing's dancing around with his batons, A-Train is just going to zip through him, turning him to paste. And without their spiritual and intellectual leader, this is a team that will fall apart to a group of individuals even faster than the Seven. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Seven might not work as a team great, but when they're afraid of what Homelander will do if they fail, they will all go there.
The go there argument. Well played, Ray Sicanus. All right, listen, there's lots going on already for point number one, but let's see what the judge has to say. Benny, you've heard a point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Okay, well, I always like to hit people with questions right off the bat. So, Ray, we'll start with you. What level of training does the Seven have, both, I guess, as individuals and as a team?
It really depends on which character we're talking about. You know, oftentimes these are kids who develop their powers sort of early in life, and they either go through life kind of working on it on their own, and then they get brought into it because this is a world in society that is all about superheroes. It sort of is like the central dynamic of this entire world, right? Is who's got powers and what can they do? And the Vought Corporation, of course, we've seen Gen V. They have schools set up to teach them how to use their powers. The best ones are plucked into the crime fighting school where they're developed even further. And the best ones from that have a shot to go to the Seven. So if you're in the Seven, it means that you're literally the best of the best and have good social media experience. The training itself will vary, though, as I'll get into in my later points.
Okay, and then my next question would be, what is the best example of A-Train's speed that we've seen? I know they say, like, his theme song says he's, you know, so fast, you know, faster than the speed of light. But what have we actually seen as an example of, like, what his, like, speed can do? Like, what are we looking at?
Yeah, I got it. So basically, when we're talking about A-Train, we're talking about, first off, you know, that opening scene when he actually just is running through somebody at a very casual pace. He wasn't exactly like, you know, afraid for his life in that moment, right? But he ran through somebody and he murdered them. There was basically like, what, one body part, like a hand or something that was left? I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. Quite honestly, you know, he goes, you know, over Mach 1 constantly. He finished a 400-meter dash in, like, just over a second. You know, he could cover all of Manhattan in a search in about 30 minutes, you know? And that's, like, a search. That's not just, like, running around. That's doing stuff when you get there. So I can appreciate that some people think that the Flash is sort of fast. I think that A-Train has a theme song. Where's the Flash's theme song to tell me how fast he is? They didn't bother writing one. They must not believe in him.
Okay. All right. Now, James, my question for you is, as far as you know, have the Teen Titans ever, you know, gone there, crossed that line and, you know, had to unalive somebody as a team?
It's happened a number of times. And the two main characters, actually, there's the three main characters who would do that would be Donna Troy because of her Amazonian training. And she's had to be held back. Because she wanted to, like, she's like, no, I'm taking this person out. Something Wonder Woman does a lot too, by the way. And then also Raven and Starfire. Raven with that demonic heritage, literally she's half demon, you know, has taken people out. And with the team just going like, okay, who's going to stop her? No one is, because no one really can. Starfire, because she was a slave at one point and a gladiator slave as well, and had to fight her way free in this intergalactic kind of gladiatorial combat thing. She actually has gone there wanting to kill people and has killed people before.
I mean, look, okay. This is a team that literally has a no-kill rule in their pledge. What are you talking? Yeah, and a couple rare occasions, mostly on the TV show with Starfire's case, not the comics, James. Have they killed? Yeah, occasionally. But the whole point of the team is we do not kill. That is their first, second, and third commandment. So stop pretending.
No, in the comics is what I'm referencing to, not the TV show, both iterations, which are awesome, by the way.
Okay, I have no questions left as of right now.
I love it. The judge is asking the right questions. Ray and I are getting emotional with what's about to happen. This battle's heating up. Stay tuned for point number two.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today. Save big money
at Menards. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
And we're back. Let's see what Ray has. Ray, hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for the greatest superhero team in history, the Seven. We're going to talk about the next echelon of champs as we put it together. And we're going to start with Queen Maeve. Now, you talk about Donna Troy being like Wonder Woman minus 10% of the power. I would argue that Queen Maeve is Wonder Woman plus 10% of the power. Look, she's one of the very, very few superheroes we've seen on the show who can physically harm Homelander. That's why he's got to keep close eye on her all the time and check her for loyalty constantly. If you're able to even scratch Homelander on this show, you are a level above anywhere else. She once stopped an armored truck from just moving by just standing in the middle of the street. And an armored truck at full speed ran into her and crumpled around her. That is a durability feat of insane proportions. Now, I've mentioned before, everybody in this boy's universe has insane levels of strength and durability. That comes natural with the Compound V. Queen Maeve is strong and durable compared to those heroes. She takes it to this whole other level. She took Homelander's eye beams, which slice people in half, right? She just took them and was able to withstand them. One time I saw her take a pen and throw it, they say, 26 yards through a man's eyeball into his brain, killing him. Again, Teen Titans have a no-kill rule. The Seven kill gleefully. They do not care. And if they think for a moment that their own lives are on the line, they will kill first, second, and third while the Teen Titans are messing around, trying to contain and stop casualties. The Seven don't care about that. One time she got tranked late in season 3 and she got put into an armored car with full guards. She busted out of that. She woke up from that. She purged it from her system, killed all the guards and blew out the armored car and escaped. That's who she is. Now let's talk about Black Noir. Black Dwarf's fantastic. Now, he's probably the best overall fighter of the crew. He in one-on-one matchups, he's beaten Starlight. He beat Kimiko, great member of the boys. He once defeated all the rest of the boys by himself because they couldn't hang with him. He's basically Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe, but with superpowers. When I saw him pull out a sword in season 3 to sharpen it, to try to like maybe cut Homelander, and who was it? Somebody else turned to him and said, "That's, you can sharpen it for 1,000 years. You're not going to cut Homelander. He's that strong." But he's trying anyway. I love the idea of Snake Eyes, but like with superpowers. Pretty cool. He's also had military training. We flash back in season 3 to when he shared a unit with Soldier Boy, and he has all of the training in what, Vietnam? And he was able to go back there. So he's essentially got Punisher level training with Snake Eyes' abilities and power set, plus superpowers on top of it. I just don't know a stealthy, murderous character like this. Character like, you know, I don't know, Cyborg has really mentally prepared himself to deal with at a moment's notice, because he hasn't. And let's, you know, super stealth too, by the way. He used his smoke bomb to evade Homelander, who has super hearing, superpowers. We'll get into him a little bit later. But if you can use a smoke bomb and escape from a character like Homelander, you are onto something. So I believe he can hide in the shadows and then pop out and absolutely run through a character like Donna Troy, who's 10% weaker than Wonder Woman. I believe that he can absolutely cut the head off of Raven if she doesn't see him coming, and she won't. But let's talk about one of the newer members in season 2 of the 7, a replacement member for Translucent. Let's talk about Stormfront. Yes, she was officially a member of the 7 and one of the most powerful, the second most powerful behind Homelander. And yes, I'm going to use her for this battle because of course I am. She's powerful even for the 7. She's essentially head and shoulders above everybody I've already talked about. Her and Homelander got together for some, we'll call it recreational activities, and they were destroying like buildings. They were taking out entire rooms and bases with their fun, quote unquote. She takes Homelander's I-beams for fun. She enjoys it. This is a thing that slices people in half, and she's like, "Hit me with your I-beams. I like it." She's a little, we'll say, not all there mentally. She has the powers of electrical plasma manipulation, which means that she could create lightning, explosions, blasts. What happens when this battle starts out and the first thing Stormfront does is hit everybody with an electric blast meant to kill them and then blow up the ground underneath them? They're going to be scattered, especially since Nightwing is already dead because A-Train ran through him. They don't have somebody telling them what to do. They're going to be in trouble. Let's not forget she has telekinetic powers as well. She ragdolled a van and was able to throw it around. If you can telekinetically move a giant van, what is going to stop her from taking a character like Cyborg and ripping his head off telekinetically to open this battle? Nothing. And she can fly as well. She can fly with her electrical powers, and it took the combined efforts of basically an entire team to bring just her down, and they didn't even kill her, remember? She, by herself, probably solos the entire Titans crew, and we haven't even gotten to my point number 3, but that is my point number 2.
Interesting way you're presenting everyone. Okay, now let me kind of push back on a lot of this. Now,
well, I have to present them in reality because the internet doesn't seem to want to.
The internet definitely has different opinions than you do on the 7, and evidently different information as well. But here's the deal. Look, when someone's selected for the 7, it's not based off their training. It's not based on what have you, because this team doesn't really go out to fix huge problems in the world as a team. They're a marketing tool. It's about who can sell merchandise. So when someone's selected for the 7, it's based off who Voight Industries thinks is the most marketable, who's going to sell the most merch, who's going to connect with the audience the best on social media. Doesn't mean that they're the best fighter hero for the team. Now, on top of this, Queen Maeve, great character, can't take that away from her. Here's the problem. She couldn't even save a plane that had all these passengers on it as it was going down, and that's with Homelander. She didn't have the power to get out of the plane, hold it up, or do more, which is a shame because she wanted to, which really showed a great side to her, but she didn't even have the power to do that. So I'd question how strong she is, what she can really do. She's not a flyer, evidently. Why she's on the plane in the first place, I'm not really sure what you're going to do to help with that. That was a Homelander's thing. But her and Homelander, just, you know, thanks to Homelander's decision, were powerless, literally, to stop a plane falling to the ground. That's not a great indication of how powerful you really are. Black Noir, Great character. I love how you said this is like Snake Eyes with superpowers. I'd add one more thing. It's Snake Eyes with superpowers with a metric ton or more of psychological damage and trauma for a number of reasons. That's something Raven's going to be able to take advantage of with her powers immediately. She'll sense that a mile away. Not good for him whatsoever. And then Stormfront, energy blast, all that kind of good stuff. You got to remember, physically, she was taken out by three powerful beings, the most powerful being Queen Maeve, who doesn't really have that kind of power compared to Donna Troy or Starfire, even Cyborg for that matter. And on top of that, she was ultimately taken out by a power blast. And I think that was from Homelander's son who took her out that way. Just one of those things. She's durable. She's powerful to a certain degree. But she can be taken out by energy blasts. And there's a number of characters who have that on the Titans team. Now, let me get to my point number two. For my point number two, let's take a look at teamwork and huge accomplishments. Look, the Titans have been around for decades. They've got great accomplishments, both as a team, but also as individuals. So let's talk about the individual accomplishments. Now, Nightwing, he's beaten superpowered opponents like Hawkwoman, Blockbuster, who's in the same strength and class of durability of Luke Cage. He's beaten Deathstroke and Bane one-on-one. Not at the same time, mind you. Deathstroke, he's beaten one-on-one, as with Bane. By the way, speaking of Deathstroke, Deathstroke's a major villain for the Titans, and the Titans are very familiar with it. So all of a sudden, you have someone like Deathstroke facing like a Black Noir, except with a lot of psychological trauma. Titans have been there, done that, taken on the superpowered, insane superpowered version of that. Not an issue. That's not going to be a problem for him. Look, Nightwing's even filled in as Batman a number of times. If that was enough, he's battled against every type of member of the Seven in terms of power sets many times before. He's going to have more than enough knowledge to figure out what to do, figure out a plan, and lead the Titans to victory. Now, Donna Troy, no slouch either. She has wins. I'm talking wins over Etrigan the Demon, the superpowered demon that gives Superman problems. She's got a win over Wonder Woman, wins over speedsters. One cool one is a speedster known as Jesse Quick. At least as quick as A-Train. Even a Superboy clone who thought they were Superboy is really cool. And she was trained by the Amazons, you know, the greatest warriors on Earth. And she's got weapons galore. She's awesome. Raven has wins over Trigon, her father, who's an all-powerful demon and lord of a hellish dimension. That's got to count for something. She even made Neron, who's the DC equivalent of the devil. Really, the devil, the DC universe. She made him give up because he was afraid of what Raven was going to do to him. And she said, I'm going to separate your atoms at the molecular level, whatever it is. I'm just going to tear you apart. That's while he was fighting Shazam and Constantine, literally about to kill both of them. She shows up and says to this guy who's taking on Shazam and Constantine easily, had both of them by their throats, said, leave or I take you out. And he did. That was the devil of DC universe, afraid of Raven. She's got a number of wins where she just goes to her opponents, senses them, reads their minds, and says, gotcha. Here's your nightmare. Go ahead. You're living it now. She can put illusions into people's minds. They think it's real. She can make people feel fear because that's what she does. And she make them feel fear in a huge way. She's got so many different ways to win. This is really crazy. There's Starfire. She's defeated several Kryptonians at the same time. This is a powerhouse that people don't realize how powerful she is. She destroyed Brainiac's giant battleship in one comic book. This was crazy. Massive continent-sized battleship. And it has its shields up. Brainiac's known for his powerful shields. They're the most powerful shields in the universe, or at least in the top 10 of the universe. And she flew through all of that easily, destroyed his giant ship. Wally West, The Flash, beating every speedster you can imagine. And I'm talking about speedsters who have insane death wishes for the universe. He's beaten Aquaman and Aqualad, so the deep's not going to be much of a problem. And of course, Wally West has Ray's favorite attack, the Infinite Mass Punch. This is where he becomes one of the strongest punches in the universe because that's what he does. There's Beast Boy. Look, he's beaten a horde of demons by turning into a King Kong-sized green gorilla. He's defeated dragons by transforming himself into a dragon. There's Cyborg. He's completely, and I mean completely, beaten an incapacitated Superman with his white noise cannon just by itself. If you can do that to Superman, he's doing that to Homelander. He took down my favorite Green Lantern. Not crazy about it. Jon Stewart, of course. This was when Jon Stewart was insanely powered up as the Ultraviolet Lantern, which meant he had the combined power of all the Lantern color sets, and Cyborg took him out. Fun fact, Cyborg is worshipped as a god in a distant galaxy. None of that matters here. I just thought it was cool. Now, let's look at the team itself. When you add up the power and the abilities, the Titans, you know, just have a very powerful, cohesive unit. They create a ton of synergy. They prevented Deathstroke from using the Speed Force once he got control of it. So he had the Speed Force. Speed Force is the speed dimension that the Flashes get their power from. This is over the entire multiverse of the DC universe. So Deathstroke had access to it, was a speedster himself, wanted to recontrol everything, refigure time. They beat him and then fixed the timeline. Do you know how hard it is to fix the timeline in the DC universe? One little screw up and you get the New 52. And as Ray Stakanis knows, you don't want another New 52. Just trust me on this. Look, the Titans also helped save the multiverse from destruction a number of times. They prevented Trigon from invading the Earth with his millions upon millions of demonic hordes. In terms of teams, they beaten the Fearsome Five. These are massive villains who, you know, plague the Teen Titans or Titans quite a bit. The Brotherhood of Evil, they try to dominate the world, terrorize humanity. Hive, it's an organization like AIM and Marvel Comics. They have, you know, world domination plots as well. Tartarus, this is a superpower team led by Vandal Savage. Vandal Savage is that immortal or 50,000 years old with all the intelligence and healing factor. This is something they've done. They have beaten every team. But here's the fun thing. In their first year as a team, the Titans defeated the Justice League. That's right. In their first year as a team. Look, you want to talk about teamwork? You beat the Justice League in your first year of creation as a team. That's speaking volumes. All of this is about to get even crazier. But until then, that's my point number two.
There is so much to push back about the way you misrepresent the power level of each and every one of these characters. You honestly sit here and think that Raven, sight unseen, character who doesn't speak, can't speak in Black Noir, suddenly is going to sense that he sees cartoon characters in his psychopathy? People in his own universe, including mind readers, cannot tell this. So the idea that Raven just suddenly has this power to a complete stranger is absurd. And you say Nightwing beat Blockbuster? James, you're thinking of capitalism. That's who really beat Blockbuster. And I don't even know why you're talking about Nightwing when I've already proven he'll be dead 1 second into this battle when A-Train just opens the battle by running through him with no reaction possible. And ooh, Donna Troy beat a character named Jesse Quick. Jesse Quick. Was Billy Runs Fast busy? Did he have something to do? Deanna Troy from Star Trek The Next Generation is more impressive than the way you're portraying Donna Troy. Ooh, and the devil in DC Comics is afraid of Raven? This devil must really be awful. He must be the worst devil in fiction. If Raven is suddenly, ooh, I'm terrified of Raven. Raven and the Flock couldn't even win an ECW World Championship without cheating. Stop. And Wally West, I saw Catwoman beat three versions of the Flash simultaneously by just sticking her arms and legs out. So what is he actually bringing to the table with durability that low? And Starfire, what's her weakness? Tickling. You can tickle Starfire to defeat. Deathstroke did it with a mechanical pair of gloves. What are we talking about? And a white noise ray. I sleep to one of those. These are not impressive feats, James. You better start bringing it or you're in trouble.
The big thing I got to push back on your pushback was the Flock was a big part of WCW, not ECW, if I'm not, you know, miscalling this, Ray. How dare you?
Which one of us knows wrestling better?
I lived in Atlanta, trained with WCW wrestlers. You know wrestling way better than I do. I know
he
my WCW.
He brought the Flock from ECW to WCW, where it honestly worked a little bit better.
There we go. All right. Listen, more importantly, Benny, we're at the turning point. You've heard 2 points from both Ray and myself. Where is your head at so far with this battle? And what does the other side have to do to get the victory?
Okay, well, I'm going to start this time over on the Titan side. I'm going to ask first, you mentioned that in that first year, the Titans beat the Justice League. I imagine they've gone up against them multiple times. What do we know what that win-loss ratio is looking like? Like, do they often beat them? Is it 50-50? Like, what? Are there other examples of them beating them, or was this just like a one-time situation where they happened to beat them?
They have battled before. This is going to sound really strange because you think the Justice League would just absolutely tear them apart. But the reality is they're actually quite even. And typically what happens if they find themselves on different sides of a battle, they fight it out. Tell me if this sounds weird. And then somehow find common ground to work together for the bigger cause. But it's never a absolute wash on either side. They kind of fight very evenly, which is also why when, you know, the current storyline DC Comics, they're like, okay, we got to have the Justice League disband and go apart for a little while. Who can step up right away? And everyone will believe it. And that's why they said the Titans are now the premier group, at least for now, within the DC universe.
Yeah, because the Justice League broke up for story reasons. Plus, both of these teams try not to kill anybody, and they're all good friends in real life. They're all fighting with kid gloves the whole time. You know who doesn't ever fight that way? Ever? The Seven! And that's why the Titans have no, they're not ready for what they're about to get dominated by.
What was that big battle the Seven had all together when they fought
They made several movies about them, James. If you can't be bothered to go to the universe of the Boys and watch those movies, I can't help you.
I actually asked Eric Kruppke, oddly enough, about this, and he's like, he gave a not too dissimilar answer. You got to watch the Boys movies to have any idea about that because they don't really do it in their storyline. Anyway, but continue on, Benny.
So now that's all I actually had for the Titans side. Now moving over to Ray, you kind of mentioned like Stormfront being able to like stop Cyborg. But if that were to not work, what does the Seven have against Cyborg's tech? Like what is that countermeasure looking like? Because that's like the one thing I'm looking at that like, the one side has that the other side doesn't specifically is like this tech mecha character.
The big thing that I see in this question right here is what tech do they have? Now, I would ask the separate question. What tech does Cyborg have that actually would mean anything against the Seven? Because in the world of the Boys, people are constantly like the entire world's resources are being used to create tech in order to defeat this team. And nobody's come up with anything yet. So my belief is that whatever the Cyborg might pull out at a moment's notice, because he just happens to have it on him in a random encounter, remember, it's not going to do a whole heck of a lot. It might surprise them for a second, but if he's beheaded because Stormfront uses her telekinesis to rip him into 75 different pieces and fling them to the furthest depths of the planet, he's not really going to be a problem anymore, is he?
Yeah, she did that a lot in the show.
She rips apart a lot of people on the show. That is true, James. Thank you.
I will say then if we're allowing Stormfront and turning the Seven into an Eight, I think I have to allow James to bring in an eighth member to his Titans if he so chooses. I think that's only fair. I know this is just for a point number three, but if you have something in the chamber that you'd like to crack out for an eighth member, I think that is more than fair.
Seems deeply unfair to me, but you know, that's fine.
I'll let you know. How about this? I'll let you know after Ray's point number three.
All right, fair. Other than that, the only thing I really want to see specifically from Ray, I guess, is what feats to show the teamwork and the sheer strength of everybody on the team. Can I be shown? I need to hear something. And James, there's been so much talk about like the powers they have, but how are we applying them? Like, how did they deliver those blows against some team like the Seven that's just so aggressive and violent? Like, how did they approach that? And how did they overcome that brutality to come out on top?
Understood. These are all great things. This is the reason why you're back so quick after your first appearance for another appearance on the Hooli Win Show as a judge. But again, we'll just have to see what happens. Stay tuned for point number three.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it. With UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck. And check out more great deals happening now at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we're back. Raids now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three, I'm going to talk about the man I have barely scratched the surface on, Mr. Homelander himself, the true American hero. I think I've only seen the first three seasons. He seems like the main character, the protagonist, a very good character in his heart, even though he does murder. Maybe when I see season four, I'll change my mind on that, like so many people who are review bombing the show. The point I'm trying to make here is that the Titans cannot deal with a Superman-type character. All of these Titans characters have something in common. Each of them gets boat raced by Superman over and over and over again. And this is why the Justice League typically does, in fact, unless they're holding back a whole heck of a lot, Superman solos the Titans. Let's just keep it real. Much in that same way, Homelander solos the Titans. He has his enhanced hearing, which means that they're not going to be able to hide and sneak attack. If they talk to each other or they have any kind of a plan that they're going to do, he's going to hear it and he's going to be in the place to stop it. Because any communication that they have through written or not written, they're not going to write each other letters, I'll say. Maybe they'll try. But any verbal communication is going to be shut down immediately. But besides the advanced hearing, which allows him to find people's weaknesses, find out when they're nervous, find out how hard he can push them, he's invulnerable. You have to be at least his strength or above in order to hurt him, right? Queen Maeve can sort of scratch him. Soldier Boy can kind of hang with him for a moment. Same with Stormfront. But nobody in his universe has shown the ability to actually damage him. And since none of the Titans are on his level, ergo, none of them can damage him either. At the end of the day, remember this. This is a battle of team versus team, which means you have to be able to defeat every member of that team. And there's no shot, even if every other member of the seven goes down, Homelander is still enough to take out whoever is left because they do not have an answer for his invulnerability. This is a guy who had a bus dropped on him, followed by an entire parking structure, and he just pushed his way out of it and was fine. In the animated series, which is canon, so I will be using it today, he was at ground zero for a chemical plant explosion. An entire chemical plant. He was there at ground zero, and he flew away safely without a scratch on him. He can fly at incredibly epic speeds and tag any speedster, like A-Train if he wants to. His strength is beyond the pale. He once hit a character named Blindspot, who was their version of Daredevil, and he hit him by moving too fast before even a Daredevil character could react. Clapped the side of his head, which caused an unacceptable amount of blood to start pouring out of his head. What happens when he does that to a character like Donna Troy? What happens when he catches a character like Starfire by surprise and their brain starts gushing red goo? They're in trouble. Remember, he's the guy who ripped out Black Noir's guts in season 3, punched a hole basically right through him, and ripped out all his insidey places and left him for dead. He once took a human being and casually tossed him up in the air. It was like 9 seconds before the man finally came back down to Earth. What Nightwing can't take a damage like that. I'm sorry. He just can't, but he's dead anyway 1 second in, so I don't know what I'm talking about. He once had Soldier Boy, Billy, and Huey, who were up high up on a temporary Compound V, and they had a strong enough power to hold him down for like 5 seconds until they couldn't hold him any further. Three superly powerfully strong characters, each one the level of a member of the Titans, was holding Homelander down till he decided he was done with it, threw them off of him, and flew away. I'm sorry, you're not going to have a whole bunch of Titans that are on Soldier Boy's level. They're just not, and Homelander can deal with that character. High levels of speed, he broke the sound barrier flying at like age 12. No moral compass. Again, he'll kill first, second, and third while the Titans are worrying about, we might hurt an animal in the area. We have to make sure that the bystanders are safe. They have all these other things to deal with. Homelander's just there to blow up their skulls with his laser eyes. That shreds metal and people. He can melt your brain inside your head just by looking at you. He cut that jet in half because he had no intention of ever saving it. Remember when he blew up a protester just by looking at him with his eye beams? And then everybody was like, you get on, you do it. He loves killing. He wants to kill more, and here's a chance to do it. This is a situation that I remember from Invincible Season 1. Omni-Man versus the entire Guardians of the Globe. And what happened? Omni-Man was willing to go there. Omni-Man was more powerful than everybody else. That's what happens when Homelander meets the Titans. He runs through them like paper dolls, one after another, while everybody else, they might get some kills on their own, but they just need to run interference, quite frankly, in Black Noir, Queen Maeve, the rest of them. All of them can do it. Starlight blinds them. Homelander flies through them like wet tissue paper. This battle is over in 7 seconds, one for each member of the Seven. So we'll call it 8 seconds. That is my point number three.
Wow. Okay. Time to push back like I've never pushed back before. Okay. So first of all, Bane, answer your question. There's a lot of ways the Titans can beat each of these members. Cyborg and Raven, by the way, Cyborg with boom boxes, the technology from Apocalypse. You can open up a boom tube with a boom box, send people through it to wherever he wants them to go. He can figure it out. Interdimensionally, in the same universe, Raven can do the same thing with interdimensional battlefield removal. So they have things that the boys group doesn't have an answer for. Raven's got supernatural power. Not something the boys the Seven, have an answer for as well in terms of magic. Cyborg's beaten Superman. Starfire has defeated 6 Kryptonians at the same time. If Stormfront or Starlight start using energy blasts, what have you, that's perfect for Starfire. She absorbs energy. She can absorb Superman's heat vision. Homelander, Stormfront, Starlight, whatever, all of their energy blasts. She's going to absorb it and then actually, you know, power herself up with it. Really cool. And yeah, you know, Ray, you said it yourself in terms of who, you know, what did Homelander do as he was being held down when that Soldier Boy was about to blast him with that energy blast that might have removed his powers? He kind of like was like, oh no, panicked. He got them out of there, off of him, and then flew away. That is the thing. He removed himself from the battlefield because he didn't want to take on that damage. This is a common thing for the Seven. Now, with all that being said, let me get to my point number three. My point number three, I'm going to talk about team dynamics or lack thereof for the Seven. Now, to put this mildly, the Seven put the Fun into highly dysfunctional, non-functioning team. Let me explain. First of all, there's a true lack of team cohesion. Look, each member of the Seven, they've got their own personal priorities and agendas, and they'll put those over teamwork. For example, Homelander, he's about personal glory. He wants adoration. He wants power. He acts solo for the maximum visibility all the time. Put it mildly, he kind of imposes his will on the team and focuses on his dominance over them rather than the team's success. As long as he's number one, that's all he cares about. Queen Maeve, she's kind of disillusioned with heroism. That's another reason I kind of like the character. But she kind of prioritizes her survival and maintaining her image over team objectives. But she is what I kind of call one of the true heroes of that team. That's one out of all of them. A-Train, look, he's got personal ambition. He wants appearances. He likes playing the hero in front of crowds. But he's not actually a hero himself. He's got that addiction to Compound V. You know, and again, it's really focusing on himself, often at the team's expense. The Deep, this is a crazy fun character, but really warped. Preoccupied with redeeming his image. He's seeking acceptance. He's always acting out of self-interest. Look, he even left the team because he's like, I need to work on my image because Homelander told me to. He's not there to be a hero. He's there for the perks, for the adoration, for the money. That's what this team's about. Starlight's very different. You know, she came in for the great reasons and then kind of saw clearly what they weren't about. And now she's taking them down from the inside. She hates Homelander more than anyone and for good reasons. Now, the other big thing that you got to understand with the team is that there's interpersonal dislike in the team amongst individual members, and a lot of that towards Homelander. Look, the Deep and Starlight, they hate each other for a lot of good reasons. Don't want to ruin the show, but Deep did something horrible to Starlight. There's internal rivalries. A-Train with some other people in the Deep, they're kind of battling to see who can stay on the team, and Homelander puts them against each other. It's not really good for team building. The biggest factor of all, every member really either fears or hates Homelander, possibly both. Look, Homelander's a tyrant. His leadership instills fear rather than respect. And to put it mildly, he's got really erratic behavior. He's cruel. He causes constant tension in the team. Look, they're talking behind his back. He's severely unhinged. He's emotionally and psychologically damaged beyond repair, I think. How fast will Raven's super empathy read that, by the way, and kind of enable her to, you know, use those emotions against Homelander to shut him down? Look, he's pretending he's a baby drinking mother's milk from moms that aren't. I mean, it's just crazy, creepy stuff. He's got some issues he's got to work through. And on top of all that, Homelander has not had any real training whatsoever to be a leader of the Seven. His leadership role is really just based on his immense power. We've seen that. And Void International's marketing thinks, hey, he's a good, you know, symbol for leadership. He doesn't know how to lead. He doesn't know how to take charge the right way. His team hates him, and he knows it, and he's fine with it. That's the whole thing. Look, these people haven't been in any real adventures together. They don't work well as a team. They haven't really worked any time as a team. They don't really stop crimes. They're there for the wrong reasons. They're doing things for the wrong reasons. Look, there was that horrible, yet funny, yet horrible scene. Again, I mentioned before, this airplane filled with passengers is going down fast. Somehow, Homelander and Maeve get on the plane. Homelander's like, don't worry, we got you. It pulls Maeve aside. He's like, yeah, we got nothing. We got to get out there. We can't save them. If we try anything, it's just going to fall apart. Homelander was just like, I don't care. This isn't even worth my time. I'm jumping off. Look, to sum it up, this is going to be an insane fight because as they all fight together, Homelander's going to say, do it or else I'll kill you if you don't do it. They'll reluctantly go into battle, and all of a sudden they're going to find a whole bunch of people that have answers to Homelander. Homelander's never fought people as powerful as the Titans. As a result, look, Wonder Woman, Donna Troy, Maeve, power levels are way different. Raven, magic, not a chance. Demon form, not going to happen. They have no clue what's going to happen. Starfire alone, Cyborg, being able to take out Superman with all of his array of weapons. Never mind the Flash. These are different levels of powers that these heroes have that the Deep might have some similarity to, but nowhere near the experience. They are not committed. And the moment they see Homelander go down, they'll probably churn on him in the same way Starlight did when she saw through his, you know, demeanor and what have you. Look, put all this together, and what's going to happen is Starlight's probably going to join the Titans. The Deep is going to probably get beat up and like go in to help. Black Noir is going to get wrecked even further, and they'll hopefully put him in, you know, Arkham or what have you. But Homelander is going to be taken down, and he's going to get hurt. And most likely, if possible, Homelander is going to, you know, run for his life, realizing very quickly he's up against more than he can handle. All of that is my point number three.
I have so much to say just based on that alone. See, there's such slander towards the Seven and my favorite character of all time, Homelander. Look, Homelander needs a little bit of leverage to fully maximize his strength. When he flies, he has nothing to push off of. If that was happening on the ground, he could have picked up that plane and done whatever he wanted to do with it. But without the leverage while flying through the air, he was not able to. That is a limitation. But guess what? We're fighting on the ground for the most part here, or he's going to build up a lot of momentum from the ground to pound through people like he does on the show. And teamwork. The Seven usually sends like 2 to 3 members who show up to like an armed hostage crisis, and then they murder all the bad guys in like a second and a half. And then they, you know, they try to maybe stretch it out to make it look good. Then they leave the building with somebody's like severed head, and they're like, we got the terrorists. This is the teamwork that we need right there, right? They always get it done. This team is terrified of Homelander. It's true. Let me tell you a story about World War II. The great Russian army employed something called commissars because most of their troops were conscripts, people who didn't want to fight. So the commissar's job was to stand in the back, making sure everybody knew which direction to go, which was forward. And if somebody turned around and tried to run away, the Russian commissar shot his comrade in the head to make sure the rest were motivated. That's how real leadership works, James. That's how I choose leadership on the Who Would Win show. And you know who beat Hitler? Those Russian commissars. One World War II, let's be real, with the massive number of people who didn't want to be there. That's why Homelander has the leadership needed to beat the Titans. Whether or not they want to be there, one way or the other, they got to beat the Titans or they're dead either way. The Titans don't have such fear because in their own universe, they're fighting people who don't kill. And what would get the Seven more fame than a win over DC's front page heroes? You said so yourself. So I'll take the team of people who are a little unhinged and violent versus a family who, when 2 to 3 of them start getting killed by the massive power of Homelander, are not going to want to be there anymore and have an option to leave, unlike the Seven.
Wow, using Russia as one front on Nazi Germany, saying they did it without any help from the U.S. What's Ray, your interpretation of facts, you know, it always entertains. I'll leave it at that.
Let's look at the casualty numbers and let's just keep that war real is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, we'll think about that. All right, Betty, listen, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision, but before we get to what Benny has to say, let's celebrate the Who'd Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who'd Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today's Patron of the Week is one of our favorites. They're all our favorites. Who are we kidding? Picking your favorite member of the Patreon community is like picking which member of the Seven will kill Nightwing first. It's just too hard. So today I'm going to pick Saturnix 1001. It is your turn back in the chair.
Wow. Okay. That's a powerful, powerful fighter right there. Okay. You know what? In honor of do our whole, you know, team versus team battle motif for this week's episode, let's have him go up against the Fantastic Four.
This is a rough battle for anybody. Saturnix, you might be in trouble this time. Well, the Fantastic Four very famously are a family. And like any other family, they squabble. Part of their big appeal is that they argue with each other and they fight with each other all the time. So all Saturnix has to do is find the golden apple from famed Eros mythology. And it says, what, Callista on it. And he throws it into the middle of the Fantastic Four, which means, what does it mean, like, to the prettiest this apple belongs? And all four members of the Fantastic Four will start fighting with each other, just like they often do in the comics. And quite honestly, that allows Saturnix to walk away safely. Saturnix, you're going to win this fight. You might not feel good about it, but you did it. And you did it because you know the Illuminatus trilogy by Robert Anton Wilson. I read it in college. You read it probably daily. That's why you happen to have that golden apple on you at all times. Good job, Saturnix. Know your literature, people.
Wow, congratulations. Great win. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Benny, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between the Titans and the Seven.
All right, guys. As always, you both did exquisite, repped both sides, phenomenal. You know, we're going to figure this out as we go along because I still don't have a definite winner. So specifically looking at, obviously, it's teams. So you got to figure out, like, who takes out who. You know, I'm seeing, like, you know, Beast Boy taking on the Deep. They, you know, I'm thinking we're at like a pier, warehouse, industrial space. They jump out and they're in the water fighting. I think Beast Boy, like you said, he can turn into alien creatures and dragons. I think he's just too much. I don't think the Deep takes it like as serious. I think they're going back and forth. I think the Titans lose a couple. I think the Seven lose a couple. But just based off of, you know, what you were saying, they're not the biggest fans of their leader. That the Titans will die for a teammate. They will go up to bat for a teammate. They will break a plan to cover a teammate, whether that be good or bad. The Seven aren't like that. Like, I feel like if things start getting sketchy and scary, they're going to start dividing. And that's what I think is going to happen. I see maybe Homelander and Stormfront being a little too brutal because a lot of these members on the Titans, even though it's not the Teen Titans, they're still young. They're late teens, early 20s. And you have the good-hearted ones like Maeve and Starlight kind of questioning what exactly they're doing there. And you know, the brutality that they're putting these young heroes through, and they kind of make a shift. They see Wonder Girl, they see Raven, they see these other strong female heroes fighting for good, and they do exactly what they did. Sorry, spoilers, if you haven't seen the first couple seasons, that's on you by now, respectively. They make the shift, and they help out the Titans to not only eradicate the rest of the people on the Seven. Now, again, I don't think they have a heavy hitter enough to put Homelander down for good, but I think that between the remaining powerhouses of like Raven, Wonder Girl, Starfire, and then the extra help of Queen Maeve and Starlight, they are able to combine to at least contain, hold him, give Raven enough time to do one of her spells and banish him to another realm, therefore removing him. And I will say I didn't think it would happen, but I think the Titans come out on top and maybe gain a couple new allies in the process. Officially, the winner of Who Would Win this week is going to be the Titans.
And there you have it. Before I say anything else, though, congratulations to Race to Canis. I thought this was a slam dunk. I absolutely thought, okay, you know what? Finally, I have the powerhouse of the team, the clear winner. I know, Ray, you've been doing great with your debates and what have you, and you're arguing. And, you know, I thought, there's no way you're even going to come close. I was mistaken. You actually did a much better job. Caught me off guard a couple of times with everything you brought up, your points for the seven. But in the end, I have to agree with Benny. This is the thing, and I absolutely do see Starlight and Maeve switching sides and becoming members of the Titans, and the Titans will be happier for it. With that being said, Ray Sicanus, great fight today. Tell Legion of Audience how you feel.
I haven't been this disappointed in a result involving the Titans since 2008, when the Detroit Lions, who were 0-11 at the time, lost to the 10-1 Tennessee Titans 47-10 to ruin my Thanksgiving that year. That is how I feel. I feel like I laid it all out there. I feel like I made every point that I needed to make, and I think that James tried his best and ultimately got defeated by my better characters and better arguments. Now, the judge, obviously, who will never be back again, sadly, didn't see it the same way that I do. Didn't see it the same way that James do. Didn't see it the way perhaps some of the commenters in the comment section do. And that's why most respectable places turn off commenting. That's all I have to say about that. You asked my comment on this battle, James. I've turned them off.
Just like the people you encounter in real life, they are also turned off by Ray Sicanus. All right, Benny, you killed it. Second time around, I don't know, I liked it even better than the first time because I got the win. Please come back for another episode. I'm getting texted right now by the production team who's monitoring all of this. They're like, please bring Benny back, not just because we're collaborating on a number of great projects. With that being said, until you do come back, tell our fan base, the Legion of Audience, where they can find you online and where they can find this insanely amazing product line and merchandise from Who Would Win.
Well, guys, you can find me and the squad over at Say Word in Milwaukee. That's 3474 North Oakland. If you're in town, but you can find us on social media, Instagram and Facebook, Say Word, you will find us. And www.sayword.co is where you can find the new Who Would Win merch right now. Expect new items frequently. Go check it out, you guys. I am stoked to be back. The episode was phenomenal. Thank you guys again. Make sure you check out Say Word for all your nostalgia needs. And I appreciate you guys as always.
Amazing. All right, listen, Ray Sicanus, what a great episode. You put out a magnificent effort today. You've been up in your game constantly. I'm super impressed. Don't feel bad that you got the loss and that your hopes for four in a row somehow got dashed horribly, as were your hopes for the Detroit Lions this past season. Now, with that being said, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
You know, I generally speaking respect Benny T. I respect Say Word as an establishment. And that's why if you happen to be in the Milwaukee area and you're looking for some sort of novelties or toys or a swag of a vintage variety, I definitely think that you should check out perhaps Toy Dimension on West North Avenue, or perhaps you'd like to go check out the Make Sense Variety Store on West Howard. Perhaps Immortal Toys and Collectibles strikes your fancy, or even Albella Bargain Store on West Oklahoma. Those are all fine establishments. Hey, I would say check out Badger Collectibles. That's only a 3.5 out of, they're not getting great reviews. So, but still, perhaps those stores are the ones that you should be checking out in Milwaukee. That's all I have to say about that. Find me on Threads at AlmightyRay316. If you happen to be in Milwaukee and need suggestions on memorabilia stores to check out, I'll have a listing at least 20 deep of better places to go.
Love how Please Ray is like telling our fan base not to go to the one place in all of like America that sells Who Would Win branded. Ray, do you understand you benefit from sales at Say Word? But, you know, for Who Would Win stuff, never mind. We want Say Word to blow up. Never mind. I forgot who I was talking to.
You know all what right. I benefit more from, James? Victory.
Do you? Do you? Okay.
You should know by now.
You can find me.
Six seasons. What are we doing?
Welcome to my world. And you can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Sicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, got to prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.